This podcast replay is brought to you by American Dream Lending. For purchase or refinance, call 786-802-1727. Fast approvals and quick closings. American Dream Lending. Turning dreams into a lifestyle. Call 786-802-1727 or visit adreamlending.com.
So, Joe, have you ever seen Dress to Kill with Angie Dickinson back in the day and Michael Caine?
Have not seen that
one. I'm going to say no. Huh?
Have not seen that one. I watched eight movies to and from London, and one of them was a very old movie, a classic that I'd always heard about but never seen. It's called Citizen Kane.
Oh, yeah, dude, of course. Are you kidding
me? I've never seen Citizen Kane.
You waited till your, like, 50th year on this earth to watch Citizen Kane? How old are you now? You're, like, 40, right? What are you, 40, 38?
46.
41? You're really, dude? Well, I didn't think you were that old. Okay. Oh, okay.
It was a strange movie, but I can understand why it was sort of an important movie.
Right.
In setting a tone for how movies can be made and the things that can actually be done in film. It was really cool.
Yeah. No, Citizen Kane is a classic. Yeah. So if you ever get a chance, watch Dress to Kill with Angie Dickinson and Michael Caine. It's actually a really good movie back in the day. And it's an incredibly hot scene at the beginning to start the movie. So I just wanted to prepare you you're going to go, wow, okay. It's different. All right. So let's start off. I've never thought this trade is going to happen all year long, Joe. Every time this story has come up, I just have not believed in it because I don't think anybody in their right minds would trade for a guy with, you know, we had Aaron Wilson on from Houston a little while ago in the first hour, and he reminded us not just the 22 lawsuits, but there's also the 10 criminal investigations that are also going on in the process. And so to me, it makes zero sense that anyone in the NFL would trade for this guy until you have a resolution in all these cases. That way you know where he stands. So first of all, how are you viewing this? Do you think this is a possibility, or do you think, like I do, that there's no way anybody in their right mind is trading for this guy right now?
I don't think that we can eliminate the possibility that the Dolphins will try to acquire or acquire Deshaun Watson, because we don't know exactly how important this acquisition is to owner Stephen Ross. If owner Stephen Ross has decided, much the same way he decides, I'm going to build this incredible building in New York, if he's decided Deshaun Watson is the object of my affection, I'm 81 years old, I'm tired of not having an elite upper echelon quarterback, I don't care what it takes, Chris Greer, if you want to keep your job, you're going to go get this guy. Now, can we suggest that that's an impossible, implausible scenario? No. And so that's why I don't think we can eliminate the possibility that it could still happen.
Okay, what's your gut tell you? I want you to put your cojones on the line, because my cojones say no shot it happens. So what's your gut tell you? Is what I want to know, because you're around the situation. You call people, you talk to people around the league. I know you're well connected. So what's your gut tell you when it's all said and done?
My gut tells me that if the Dolphins are to acquire Deshaun Watson, it's more likely to occur after the season than before the trading deadline. I do agree with that notion that it's certainly in the Dolphins' best interest, if at all possible, to delay this potential acquisition. Now, of course, you don't want to lose them. What if some other team is actually able to come forward with a package, Philadelphia, Carolina, etc.? I don't think that the Dolphins necessarily need to bid against themselves in the way some have felt they have done in some past transactions. If, in fact, they are the only team that Deshaun Watson will play for, then that should create some leverage for the Dolphins. You see these NBA players saying that they refuse to play for any team but this team. Trade me here. And usually the team that's dealing away the superstar doesn't get robbed. And so there's no reason for the Dolphins to give away three first rounders, two second rounders. I don't think that that they should feel held hostage in any way. Houston is the team with the problem. They're the one with a guy on their roster who they're paying, who's not even playing, who is facing 22 accusations.
So let me ask you, so this is the part now that you and I have been in this business in a long time, and we've had plenty of people lie to us or mislead us or whatever. And so there's a cynical part in us. For me right now, this story now, the way it's all breaking down, the way it came out from John McClain, and he never stated it as a story that's going to happen and that it's going. No, he's saying that they're talking and they would like to get something done and all that kind of stuff. I kind of get the feeling that the Dolphins really didn't inquire right now. I kind of get the feeling this is coming from Houston and their last ditch effort, because in the end, they don't know what direction this whole thing is going to go in. They don't know what's going to happen with the 22 civil lawsuits. They don't know what's going to happen with the 10 criminal investigations going on, with the other 10 with the cops also checking it out. So they want to see if they can get somebody desperate to make a move last minute, because by the time you get to the offseason, you will know if he's innocent or guilty. And at that point, then Houston will have either no leverage or all the leverage in the world. Right now, they were trying to avoid the fact that they could end up with no leverage. So maybe this is a last-ditch effort to not just get the Dolphins, but other teams involved, and try to see if the chum in the water brings them in.
Clearly a strategic release of information by the Houston Texans leadership. Okay. Two key members of the Houston media. Now, from the Dolphins, I'm a little bit annoyed, because I'm sitting there thinking, I got Tua Tagovailoa. He's supposed to play on Sunday. This is hurting our second-year 22-, 23-year-old quarterback. And so, you know, again, if Ross says, I don't care, I want this done, it could still happen. It's like when you're wife tells you to hire someone to fix the dishwasher, and you the dishwasher is not calling you back, and then he's telling you he's going to charge you twice as much as he originally told you, and you want to tell the guy to get out of my house, but your wife is like, I don't care what it takes, get the dishwasher fixed, right? You got to listen to your wife.
Yeah, no, you're
so
right.
So if Ross says, get it done, I don't care if it hurts to his feelings, I don't care if 72% of my fan base are opposed to the idea of acquiring Deshaun Watson.
By the way,
I'm 81 years old.
Wait a minute. Is that a Palm Beach Post poll right now going on?
We actually have a current poll that I believe has been posted or will soon be posted. But the last time I ran a poll, it was in that range of 70 to 80%. So the fans don't want this guy. But to play devil's advocate, owner Stephen Ross has allowed a lot of folks, GMs and coaches, to do things that they thought would work, and they haven't. So if he really wants to do something his own way, you remember he once suggested that the Dolphins take Lamar Jackson. He was kind of right.
Well, it depends. Here's where I have a problem with all of that. Okay, so are you going to draft Lamar Jackson, and are you going to be committed to running the offense you need for Lamar Jackson like John Harbaugh is? Because you acquired Tua, and you failed to build a line for an injury-prone quarterback. You failed to give him a dominant running game for an injury-prone quarterback. You failed to give him an experienced quarterback's coach, offensive line coach, and offensive coordinator for a young quarterback. So, you know what I mean? If you're going to build something, then build it to its strengths and help it succeed. Water your plant so it grows. You know, Tua right now is buried in a desert where Tua right now is right next to the Colorado River that has no water right now and they can't feed. You know what I'm saying? That's the problem with all of this. So it's really nice to say, oh, we could have acquired Lamar Jackson. If you don't design the offense the way the Ravens did, Lamar Jackson would be out of football already at this point. Because if you think you can make him a drop-back quarterback, you're dead in the water. You know what I'm saying?
So let's talk about Tua. So let's talk about Tua for a minute.
Acquire something and help it grow is the thing. Hey, for many years, my brother, you had Dan Marino down here. And rest in peace, Don Shula. We know you are the greatest. But he failed to give the greatest quarterback in the history of the Miami Dolphins what he needed to succeed overall. Yeah, he had success because he had some weapons, but he never got deep into the playoffs and win a Super Bowl because you didn't give him a defense and a running game. Doesn't matter what kind of player you get, you still have to give that player what he needs in order to succeed. And that's what they have failed here with.
Well, I'm going to give you some good news out here in Miami Gardens, Florida. It just came off the practice field. And Tua, assuming he is, you know, the quarterback on Sunday against the Falcons, it looks like he's going to have Devontae Parker and Preston Williams back. Also looks like he's got a better chance to get more snaps because it looks like Xavien Howard and Byron Jones have a good chance to come back. So four key Dolphins all running around pretty good out there on the practice fields. That is a big encouraging sign. I expect to see that Falcons 2.5 point odds line shift closer to one.
In other words, hurry up and take the Dolphins right now so you can get a deal.
Get the 2.5.
Yeah, get the 2.5 right now, baby.
I picked 24-21 for the Dolphins. That's my pick for this week.
And by the way, you touched on something that I touched on the show. And it's like a two-part thing that I want to bring to you. One, you are so correct that by this coming out again, even if it's not the Dolphins, what's Tua and his agent thinking at this point? You know what I mean? It's like, yo, what the F is going on? You guys don't give us a line. You don't give us a running game. You don't this, that. And now you're also getting rid of us. You know what I mean? And so it kind of strains the relationship. And if you're Tua, you're wondering, are you really behind me or not? Or what the hell is going on? And then the other thing that when you think about all of this, and this is for you now, since you're on the beat all the time, I would imagine that these guys could easily come out and say, we haven't contacted Houston at all. But the problem is, and that's why I'm going to follow up, they can't tell you that because then every rumor that comes out, you're going to want some kind of a response to it. So they don't want to respond to every rumor.
Yeah, and we've talked about this. I disagree. I think that they can tell us or not tell us anything they want. If they really have no interest in acquiring Deshaun Watson prior to the trade deadline, and they're going to stick with Tua for the whole year, it's my opinion that they should either publicly say it or at least let us know privately so we can report that. That's my opinion. That's their choice.
But that's so snakish on your part. You're setting them up on there. Well, if they tell us that he's their quarterback for the year, then you know what your effing stories are going to be. Well, they've said he's the quarterback for the year, but in the offseason, they could still revisit it. That's my point.
Yeah, but
who
are you trying to support? It's not about Joe Schad. It's about Tua Tagovailoa and the players in the locker room. If you want Tua to know that you're not acquiring Deshaun Watson, it's not good enough to tell him. You got to get that information out publicly.
I know, but if you say that, then you corner yourself somewhere. And if you just say, well, he's our quarterback for the year, then you're going to say, well, what about for the future? And
didn't the Dolphins have a precedent that they don't give guys under contract extra money in the middle of their contract just because they ask?
Yeah.
Oh, they broke that precedent, didn't they, for Xavien Howard?
It looks like guess who broke it?
It looks like
broke it too.
it looks like every situation is unique.
Yeah. Guess who broke that one too? That was the head coach that broke that one. He's the one that wanted to give him that money, not the GM. That's the difference on that one. The GM, it's just like the whole Eric Flowers thing. You think the GM wants to cut Eric Flowers and pay his salary to watch him go play somewhere else? That's the coach saying, no, we don't need him. The young guy can step up. Boom. The GM doesn't want to cut him because it looks bad on him that he just signed him.
So does that mean that they're attached? Are they attached at the hip or not?
Oh, they're attached. They're attached, but you can tell the difference in the decisions. One brings Fitzpatrick. The other one brings Brissett. One guy brings in Kyle Van Noy, and then the next time he says he's gone. You know, they're obvious. The Flowers thing, that's not the GM saying, hey, I'm cutting Flowers. You got to coach the young guy. No. That's Flo telling him, cut Flowers. We'll take the hit.
You'd like to be lockstep. And yeah, here's the truth. As long as you're winning, no one cares who wanted Eric Flowers cut.
Right. You're right.
You got to win.
You are right.
All that matters is winning. These guys want to be judged on wins and losses. Yep. They always say things like, you guys don't have all the information. You guys don't know everything that happens behind the scenes. You guys don't get to watch all the practice. Well, okay. So we're going to judge you based on what we see and what we think and what you tell us or don't, often or don't. Not.
Right.
And the bottom line is when you're 1-5, you're going to get ripped.
Right. Yeah.
And I think they understand that.
And that's why the GM brings in Chan Gailey, because of the prior history with Chan Gailey and the Dolphins, because he knows him. And it wasn't like Chan was in New England. And then the other guy has his differences. And so now he creates his own offensive coordinators. And so it's not that they're not on the same page. It's just that one guy has a lot of power and a lot of influence. And I think that's where Chris Greer is getting burned a little bit. He might have given his coach a little bit too much power and too much influence in all of this. And they're going to both go down together when it's all said and done.
I don't know for sure. They're either both going to stay together, or
they're both going to fail together. That's what I think.
I think Flores has a longer leash.
That's what common sense tells you. But if the owner knows who's making the decisions behind the scenes, you know what I'm saying? Then he knows that Flo is just at fault, as anybody else for a lot of things going on. All right, so what do you got this weekend, my brother? If the players are back, what's the prediction?
Yeah, 24 for the Dolphins, 21 for the Falcons. I was a little off on my prediction last week. I had the prediction I made with you was Dolphins by 2 touchdowns. That was inaccurate.
Yeah. Hey, man, we both got to lay on the sword on that one, bro. You know, it was just one of those. What the hell are you going to do, man?